My guest at this time is former Virginia Governor Jim Gilmore. He is now the president and CEO at the Free Congress Foundation. He was governor of the Old Dominion from 1998 to 2002, and during that time, his signature issue was eliminating the so-called car tax. But that issue is coming back once again, but this time it's because lawmakers want to bring it back more robustly than it currently is. And, Governor, it's good to have you with us. Thank you.
Good. Thank you very much for the chance to talk to your listeners.
Well, I distinctly remember your 1997 campaign. This was the hallmark issue that you ran on. I remember your yard signs with the slogan right there at the bottom, no car tax or end the car tax, something to that effect. And over your time as governor, you were able to reduce it to a great extent. For those who aren't familiar with Virginia, explain what the car tax is and how you approached it.
Well, the car tax is charged by localities to individual people living in the cities and counties, and they get a bill every year. The individual citizens get a bill every year in the mail in which they're asked to pay a very substantial amount of money for the privilege of owning their automobile. This was a hated tax. It came suddenly. It's very expensive. And all of a sudden, you know, you unexpectedly were having to pay an enormous amount of money. Some people couldn't afford it. People who were in desperate straits were using their car to get to and from work, and all of a sudden they're having to pay hundreds, if not thousands of dollars for the privilege of owning their car. Young people were not able to pay it suddenly because of their lower wages and were having to put it on credit cards. And we decided that this was the best way to deliver some real value and a really better quality of life to individual citizens of Virginia would be to get rid of the car tax. And we were able to get rid of 70% during my 4 years as governor.
And then it had to be frozen at one point, correct?
Yeah, we stopped it because of the recession, but we also built in a plan to make sure that the phase out would continue and that the car tax would be completely eliminated. But sadly enough, Governor Warner, who came after me, never fulfilled his promise, never proceeded to finish the phase out, and there was no leadership in the legislature either to do it. So unfortunately, a remnant of that car tax still exists today, and I'm very unhappy about it. The budget of Virginia has gone up dramatically over the last number of years. A little bit of money going into it regularly could have eliminated it totally, and not one penny of additional money has gone into tax relief, even though the budget has grown from $18 billion to $47 billion.
Well, let's just talk about that figure one more time, because I think that's going to astonish a lot of people. When you left office in 2002, the budget was $18 billion. Now it's $47 billion, well over double, almost triple the amount of just over a decade ago. How did that happen? And how does Virginia's budget soaring compared to other states around the country?
Well, and that's a per-year number, by the way. But, sure, we've seen the growth of Virginia, its success, new jobs, new opportunities, but also as the revenue of the Commonwealth has grown, you know, I had created an opportunity for them to take some of that revenue and give it back to the working people of Virginia, which they did not do. Instead, the budget of Virginia has simply grown to spend every dollar that's been taken in with no additional car tax relief or any other tax relief. And as governor, I actually eliminated a large number of additional taxes, and it's a matter really of philosophy. What's the best form of government? There's nothing wrong with paying for essential services and worrying about education and transportation and health care. These are legitimate. But if you're growing your economy and you're taking in more revenue, why not share some of that with working people by eliminating some of the taxes that are so burdensome on them? And right now, we just haven't seen that balance. Instead, what we've seen is a complete expenditure of every dime and nothing going back to the taxpayer.
And so walk us into this new element now that there's talk on both sides of the political aisle about bringing back the car tax more than it is right now.
Well, that's right, because a sum of money has to be set aside every year to go back to the localities to reimburse them for the tax, which they're no longer charging. So the Commonwealth of Virginia is actually doing the tax cut because the locality has never agreed to give up a single cent. So they're being reimbursed. So there's a body of money that's out there for the purpose of repaying the localities. Well, that body of money is a very attractive target for members of the legislature that want to reach in for the new governor, who want to reach in there and get new money. Now, I remind the people of Virginia that right after I left office, Governor Warner increased taxes on the people of Virginia, whining that the car tax cut was depriving the Commonwealth of revenue. So they've been paid once for this car tax cut, sadly enough, and now they want to get paid again. by going back in and recapturing this money and reimposing the car tax on people, and I'm against it. But I think that we need to consider the quality of life and the conditions of people out there in the communities, and the car tax is a real burden on people. It should not only be continued, the tax cut should not only be continued, it should be increased, and the car tax should completely go away. Then we can do a legitimate tax reform where we do some revenue sharing with the localities and make sure education and law enforcement are well taken care of, but that the car tax it goes away, and that's what I believe the correct objective ought to be.
Well, here's the thing, Governor, as you mentioned, there's currently a Democratic governor in office, Terry McAuliffe. But the legislature is controlled by Republicans. It's very narrow in the state Senate, but it's about a 2-to-1 margin in the state House. So how much are Republicans at fault here for trying to dip their fingers back into this pie as well?
Well, we certainly believe that the House of Delegates will stand fast. We certainly hope that they do. But in the state Senate, that we've always had a problem that that moderate to liberal senators in the Virginia State Senate want to continue to increase taxes, and they never really liked the car tax cut, even though many of them were elected on it. And that's a real problem. This issue has been raised because an outgoing Republican state senator has said, well, gee, I think maybe we ought to reach back in and get this money. So, you know, yes, we have to hold the Republicans' feet to the fire and make sure that they don't do the wrong thing to the people of Virginia and that the car tax cut continues. And in a larger sense, we need to grow the economy not just of Virginia and add new jobs and new wage increases just in Virginia, but I believe we need to do it nationally as well, and I advocate for appropriate tax cuts, which are proven to increase growth and economic growth and jobs, and wage increases. And that needs to be the national goal as well. And I advocate that we do certain appropriate tax cuts to spur the economy and create a real growth economy, which today we really don't have.
Last topic, Governor, and you led me right into it perfectly, and that's that a lot of folks, especially conservatives, after the big wins for the Republican Party in the November elections, are a little bit frustrated to see Republicans, they believe, timid to take conservative policy stances, whether it's the current funding debate, the immigration debate in Washington, or some of these other state debates like we were just talking about around the country. Do you believe, like some conservatives believe, that the Republicans missed the mandate in November? Are they treading too carefully? Are they being responsible? What do you make of it?
Well, they haven't missed it yet. Let's see exactly what they do in January when they actually get their majority sworn in. I think the real danger here is that there will be so many different ideas and priorities that there's no unifying theme. That may be the danger. And I propose a unifying theme. And I propose that our national policy ought to be to grow the economy, get more people employed, get wages coming up. You know, there are still 92 million Americans that are not employed. We have evidence that people who lost their jobs in the recession are getting new jobs at lesser wages. That means a different, a lower standard of living. We know that young people are being forced into part-time jobs instead of full-time jobs. We know even in the last jobs report that even though there were jobs created, most of them were part-time jobs. So the quality of life of the American people is not rising the way that I want to see us rise. And I think it could be a unifying mission and goal and should be the first thing that the new Congress does when they come in to office, and that is cut taxes appropriately. And I can explain how to do that, grow the economy, and then really get this country moving again and add to a unified conservative Republican approach to government we can all agree on.
We'll certainly be watching and see if they take that advice. Governor, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you for the chance to talk to your listeners.
You bet. Former Virginia Governor Jim Gilmore, he's now the president and CEO at the Free Congress Foundation. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.